translations that most of us are in, we don't use that yet, right? More and more are beginning to use it, but so we're not familiar with it. So I'm not critical of anybody, but I do think that proportional representation as a voting system can very much help us, my understanding of it anyway, could be wrong, can very much help us achieve the goals that we want. So that's just my overview of this thing. That, having said all that, therefore, I feel very open to the proposal that was put forth, because I also know that though some of you have applauded for what I've said, it doesn't mean that everybody agrees with me, and there's probably are still some differences in the room, and that I think maybe this is a way to move forward, and I would, you know, urge us to seriously focus on this as a way to move forward. So, now it's 11 o'clock. Let me just say, I'm sorry, I have to do a brief the housekeeping kind of thing. The lunch today, I know this is the most important issue. Lunch today is actually going to be in the room behind us because they do a brunch thing out here. So instead of eating out here, they're setting up a buffet in that room behind us. So when you walk out here, you'll go to your right. But if people need tickets, I think people need the $10 tickets. Greg, it's by a show of hands, how many people are going to need the lunch tickets for today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Why don't you get about 15 more hands?
I just checked with them. They're out of the yellow tickets, so I've got 3 left. I'll sell those 3, and then you just get a chip from your waiter or server, and pay
the first. The $10.
Yes.
Okay, so it'll be $10. Their brunch buffet out here is $19.95. So if anybody wants to spend $20, you can do that. But you might want to, you know, do this. Okay. Okay, we don't have to do that. And we're going to try and break around 12 or 12:15 for lunch.
How long?
For 45 minutes again.
We haven't broken yet.
45 minutes after that. Right. Okay. Sorry for the interruption of the flow. I have 10 people who have raised their hands out there. I really, you know, I don't know. Maybe we could take a sense of the board on this proposal. No, everybody out here hasn't spoken on this yet. Everybody on my list.
Sense of the board.
Okay, let me ask the board what you want to do in terms of the 10 people, whether or not you want to hear from people or not. It's not that we don't want to hear from you, but whether or not you want to hear from people or focus on us trying to make a decision.
A sense of the board might allay some concern and reduce the list.
A sense of the board on this proposal,
right.
You mean? Oh, I see. You want to just get a sense, let's see where we are with this proposal that Paul brought forth. Right? If there's overwhelming support for this proposal.
Just a minute.
I'm sorry, Patty, please, we're just trying to figure out.
What I'm trying to do is save time.
Right.
Time is costing us money. If the sense of the board is that we don't like this proposal, you might not need to talk about it. If the sense of the board is that we do like the proposal, maybe you do need to talk about it. Could we just get that clear?
Yeah, we're just getting a sense right now, okay? All right, so all those who feel that this proposal, you understand it, right? You'll have it in front of you, right? All those who could, you know, feel comfortable that we could go with this proposal, please raise your hands. One. Two, three. Okay, we don't have a
second. I understand the vote. But the question is, this is submitted in response to something.
Right.
Right? So there was one party that had something or a series of parties that had something, and then this party brought forth this.
Right.
So my question is,
okay,
who are the parties?
Right. Let me just suggest that I understand that's one way to proceed with this. What I want us to try and focus in is on the merits of the case, whether it came from one person or 10,000 people. Is this something that we up here think is reasonable and we want to look at?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Make sure I fully understand this. This idea is, one, it's 50-50, which I'm strongly opposed to, period.
Right.
Secondly, is this the idea you have categories, like, for example, you have an African-American seat, you have a Hispanic seat. It's right here, I've got it in front of me.
It's not categories in the way that the earlier version of the Unity Caucus, the constituency model, had. It's not categories in that way. What it is suggesting is that each local board could decide that within its 50%, its commitment to 50% people of color, there were a certain number of a certain percentage of that 50%. Yet they could decide that, therefore, it's optional for each local station board to decide that, you know, a quarter of those seats would be for African American people of African descent. A quarter could be of Latino Latinas. A quarter could be, you know, whatever it break down. And that the idea would be that if they do that further breakdown, it would be consistent with the demographic makeup of their listening area.
Okay.
So should there be, it happens not to be the case, but in any of our five listening areas, there were no Latinos, right? Then you wouldn't have that category. That's not the case.
Next question. As I understand it, on one model, you rank the folks. Another, once the person, you know, your first top, your number one got enough votes for the whole.
You're talking about a proportional representation choice voting model. We're not talking about that right now.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand. Okay.
The proportional representation voting model would be applied to these categories. So if there were 10 seats open, you'd get one vote, you'd rank your choices. If your first choice got elected, great. If it didn't, it'd go down. Mm-hmm. But if at the end of the vote count it didn't turn out that there were 50% women and 50% men, or 50% people of color, the election coordinator would eliminate some people and put others on. And under this proposal, the local board could also choose to have some requirements as to specificity of African American, Latin American, whatever, on a local basis, in addition to the 50% people of color.
In addition or
further refinements. Further
refinement within. Right.
Y'all, this business of not having any white males, because that's what this does.
No, it doesn't do that. It does not do that, George. It just, first of all, it doesn't do that. Secondly, it wouldn't be the worst thing that happened.
No, it isn't.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It doesn't do that. Secondly, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
George.
But
I mean, what I'm saying is 50% people of color, 50% women.
But a woman of color meets both. So the only way that it would be all no white men would be if naturally no white men got enough votes. And that won't happen.
We can dream.
You don't need diversity requirements or proportional representation. If all of the voters prefer non-white men, then none would get elected. But otherwise, it's no different. That would only happen if that's the way people voted.
What I don't understand, I want you to explain to me, please, is I'm seeing 50% people of color, 50% women.
It could be, you could have half women of color, and you've met the requirement.
Right.
No. Yes.
Right. A woman of color is counted in both as a woman and as a person
of
color.
That's what Jane is upset about, though, right? That's what Jane is talking about.
Well,
I understand.
Objects,
I understand, but that's what this would allow.
Double whammy. That's what we used to call
it. Right. I understand that. There's an objection to that, but that's what this is.
That's what the model is.
Okay, Jabari.
And do you have... It's that... So I'm marking this when I'm managing.
Sorry, folks. Can't hear George.
It's using that proportional representation system. You rank them, and if you don't have the 50-50, then you go. Then if it's a white male, it's a white male.
What happens is if the last seat comes up and you need one more person of color to have 50%. And the next in order of votes happens to be not a person of color, the elections coordinator will go down the list and find the next person of color and put that person into that seat.
As long as they had 50% of the votes.
As long as they have a minimum cutoff number of votes.
Right, whatever that.
Whatever we set it as, which was in the KPFA proposal, half the number of votes it would have taken to get the seat otherwise.
Right. Half the number of votes you have taken to get the seat. For example, if it.
Right.
How?
In terms of, this is an example, in terms of if someone needed 10 votes to get the seat, you know, and you can look at that by just by the number of voters. If they needed 10 votes and you had a person who was a black male, which would be that person of color, and he got 6 votes, then he would meet the requirement because he would be half the number of the votes normally required to acquire the seat.
Right. So he would replace the white person. But if he only had 4 votes, he would not replace the white person because he didn't meet the threshold.
Right, but the threshold would have to be set. Or the threshold set in the KPFA model. So we have to, right, we have to see. Okay, Jabari.
Jabari, yeah. Are we still dealing with Section 5, Article 4?
Yes.
Okay. Are we...
Shush, please.
Okay, so are we're in the process now of gaining a sense of the board.
Right.
Of what? Are we assuming that we are going to have diversity goals, or are we discussing whether we're going to have diversity goals?
I thought we had previously, I don't remember if it was at the Houston or the D.C. meeting.
At the Houston right. board meeting, we did, in our straw poll, adopt the position that every board must have a minimum of 50% women. And
okay, but that
50%.
Was a straw poll. So
all of these are straw polls.
It's still straw polls. We haven't
okay, I'm just right. asking the question.
So sorry. If you want to revisit okay. it, but we did decide
that's,
that.
That's okay. all. That's all I would okay. ask yeah. it a question. You know?
Okay.
That's no, all
okay.
I'm doing.
Sorry,
I'm
sorry. I didn't mean to get over it.
Okay. Now, in the interest of saving time, we're going to have diversity goals, Jabari.
Well.
No, you want to save time. Let's go. Let's go.
Next issue.
Let's go.
Within, if you're going to have a goal, then if you're going to have a goal that's going to be passed muster as bylaws, then you really need to specify something. But if you're going to specify something, it better be the simplest thing possible to specify.
Okay, this is what the proposal is. We propose.
And I don't like this because it's way more than what you're going to get agreement on. And
well, let's see if we have agreement.
Let's see if we do. I'd like to make a motion that we those who would be comfortable with this proposal we got this morning, signify so by saying aye.
No, you're proposing that we adopt it.
All right, we're proposing a straw poll to get a sense of this body as to whether we're comfortable with this. Then we agreed we would take public comment that could try to talk us out of it.
Point of procedure. We did do that. There were 3 saying in favor. There was not a following vote, as I recall.
Oh, we said there were 3. Yeah, there were only 3 who were comfortable.
And there was not another.
So we already did that.
Yeah. Oh, so
we're. I'm sorry. I withdraw.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Well.
Lizzie.
Yes.
I would like to suggest that since this proposal was done without any discussion with the main proponent of the model, that we just table it until we have time to have those discussions.
We don't have time.
Okay.
And bring it another time.
Folks,
this is my proposal.
Folks, I want to go back to something I said at the very beginning of the discussion. I just want to see where we are, though, on the uniformity question. The people on this board agree that we should have a uniform election model for the network.
Should we take a straw poll?
Yeah, right. If you agree with... When did we... Excuse me. I'm doing it again.
5-4 is not good enough.
I'm doing it again. All those who agree that we should have a uniform election model structure, whatever, around the network, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
How much was it? How many were?
How many was it? You all counted.
How many was it again?
Excuse me. I'm asking somebody who counted. 9?
9.
And how many were opposed?
It's a uniform throughout the network. 1?
1.
Abstentions?
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, the question is, are we going to hammer out the details of that now or move on to other issues in the bylaws.
I think you should
right.
move on.
I want to propose that we need to move on. That we.
Oh, you don't have a microphone.
But Patty, come to the microphone. No, Patty is coming to the microphone. I'm sorry, she's had her hand up for about an hour and a half. So.
Right. I want to speak. I want to speak for the people that aren't here, because that's what they always say. You know, oh, there's just a few. This is what the models of people have been in New York always say. Well, you're just a few people here that want this, right? The people that want the KPFA model. You're just a few people. You don't represent anyone. Yet this is exactly what people are doing on both sides. A small group of people have come forward with a compromise. That who is to say the five people, the groups all over. Haven't even been asked what if they want to give up the KPFA model, and I just want to say this. This is, you know, that to me is the argument, and this 50-50 is already a compromise of no requirements, which there is some people don't want any. So the 50-50 actually allows the most diversity. A democracy with a minimum diversity, which is just like the mission. It leaves room for political diversity of color, what happens to show up on the board. You could lose a fantastic, you know, black anarchist because you had to put a Latino person in there, which pits groups against each other. So I'm saying that the KPFA model is what almost everybody in this network expects to be discussed. And to argue all of a sudden a couple people compromising with six people is inappropriate for this network. Simplicity, or we're going to be buried. Everyone will make their own decisions in these labs. You'll be buried for the next 6 months with these bylaws. And so I say simplicity. Thank you.
We agreed. Thank you. We disagreed that we want uniformity. I would like to I'm sorry, we did just agree that we want uniformity. What we didn't agree on is what that uniformity is. I want to suggest that we not do that today. I'm sorry, but or at least not now, that we try to get through the there are several major other items in this bylaws that we have never even had 5 seconds of discussion of yet, that we have to do some of those other items. We're going to have to figure out a process for hammering that out. But I think that we deserve the right. You know, we have the right to look at some of the other important issues in these bylaws. So I want to move the agenda. Somebody found this button. Did anybody lose this yellow, red button by the door? It's just a regular button. Okay. Okay. So nobody is coming forth for it. Carol.
I object to moving the agenda. The KPFA model has been in front of people for 1 year. We agreed to adopt it or slightly modify it as needed as part of the legal settlement. If the people on this board have not thoroughly read and understood the proposals that have been before them in written form since the grids came out 3 months ago, we are derelict, and shame on you. You should be prepared to discuss it and vote on it today.
Okay. Okay, so there's a proposal from a board member that we vote on the KPFA model.
Is there a second?
There's a second that we do that today.
Anybody second the proposal? The motion that we discuss the vote on the KPFA model now. No second.
Folks, people have different ideas about how to proceed. That's what's David. No, David.
I'll just explain. I'm not seconding that motion because I don't think that while we have certainly examined the KPFA model and seen how it's worked, I don't think we've sufficiently examined the alternatives. So I don't think I would like to do it.
David.
I would like to do it. I have my own ideas. But if the board's not enthusiastic about getting into it right now, we've got plenty of work to do, ladies and gentlemen.
Could I just say one thing?
Yes, you can.
I would like to say one thing. We're running out of time. We don't have time to examine the alternatives for another 3 months. We have had since March to examine alternatives, to discuss them in our signal areas, in our committees, and so forth. There is a proposal that's been made. Can't we decide this today? If we don't decide this today, are we going to decide it in December? Well, we've got a lot of other business in December. If we don't decide it in December, are we going to decide it in January? We're supposed to have these elections done by the end of the year. We're not going to have them done by the end of the year. Every time we put these crucial, hard decisions off, we delay holding the elections, ending the term of this board, and moving this network forward to a more stabilized structure. And every meeting, special meeting of the board that we have to call to deal with this, costs $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000 that we don't have. So I'm saying, well, let's deal with it. We're here. This is our job. Do it.
Well, folks, I'm sorry. I want to ask you not only to stop the jumping up and down, but also to stop the applauding. It just really, it slows us down. It throws off the flow of the discussion. Let's just let us keep moving ahead. Okay, Jabari.
A motion was made. It was not seconded. So let's move the agenda.
Thank you. That's the way it works. Really.
Okay. I think that's what we have to do. It wasn't seconded.
Right.
So, the next agenda item is... Sorry, I have to go back to the index here.
Said the stuff on directors.
Yeah, and directors. In Article 5, under Section 1, Point F, duties. Oh, no, I'm sorry, first Point C, the number of directors. It's on page, top of page 8. What is for us is a statement says the Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors shall have equal representation for each station. I guess one question is, do we have to put a more specific number?
Yeah.
Carol? I'm sorry. Folks, if you have conversations, that's fine. Take them out of the room. I'm not saying you can't talk, Kurt. Right? Just take it out of the room.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, Carol.
The law requires us to specify the number of directors or the minimum and maximum.
Okay, is there a proposal that someone has on either a fixed number or minimum maximum range?
You know, the KPFA proposal is for a minimum of 15 and a maximum of 18, done this way. There shall be 3 from each, elected by each of the 5 station boards. That's the minimum of 15. And there may be up to 3 at-large directors who could be nominated either by Pacifica affiliates or by 2 of the station boards who would not be station board members.
Yes, David.
I think the number would have to literally be more like 20 to enable, for example, one-quarter representation on the National Board of Staff, and thus you would have 3 plus 1 from each lab.
Are you saying 4? Each lab would send 4?
Right. And I personally do feel that the idea of an affiliate or one or two affiliate seats is a good, is an important thing. And I think that, we need to give ourselves room because we have to address that issue. I'm not sure if that should come before this or not.
Well, I would like to move that we adopt a minimum of 20, which would be 4 from each lab. One quarter being staff, which we already agreed to at the last meeting. So there would be 4 from each lab, so that's the minimum of 20, and a maximum of 23, which would permit the board in its discretion to seat at-large directors, and we can talk about how they would be nominated from the affiliates. That's a motion.
Okay.
Clarify, at large, you're talking about specifically affiliates, or do we need to designate affiliates?
Well, if we go to another paragraph somewhere in these documents.
It's Section 3, Paragraph B.
The KPFA proposal for it lumps everything, including affiliate directors, as at large, and says the National Board, in its discretion, may seat up to 3 at-large directors, and those at-large directors can only be nominated by a Pacifica affiliate or majority vote of 2 station boards. Is that clear?
It's clear, but I just don't
and
know
affiliate is affiliate is defined as any non-commercial, non-profit broadcasting entity that broadcasts any Pacifica programming by agreement with Pacifica. Could be a webcaster.
Okay, I saw some hand over here. Rodney.
I'm trying to figure out, based on what has been stated as the requirements of the national board, what kind of work would need to be done. I kind of intrinsically think we should create the smallest size board that will be adequate to do the work. I, based on this experience here, and based on the size of the organization as it is now, I don't think we really need to go above 15 people because of workload and cost. I'm just really upset or taken back by the idea of just creating structures with no formal understanding of what the structure is supposed to produce. And we get into these numbers games, but I rarely hear what these people are supposed to do. And I think if you get a working group of people that actually do things, the level of work can substantially go down and the quality of the work can substantially go up. And I'm just really, I'm worried that we want to pack boards with people, but we don't really lay out a groundwork or a framework of what they're supposed to do within a time frame. And I would rather have the smallest possible board that will adequately do it, and I think it's around 15, no more than 18.
No. If I could speak to that. Last night we discussed establishing 5 standing committees of the board. We didn't go into very great detail about all the work involved, but that's 5 standing committees that we all agreed on. I think on every single one there was unanimous agreement that they were valuable committees, finance, governance, programming, technical, and personnel, that they all had real functions. That's 5 committees. So I don't think 20 to 23 people, whatever it is too much of a size of a board. The question, again, is not the size of the board. The question is the commitment of the people who are on the board to actually work in these committees and do the work in between the board meetings. So it's whether you had 3 people on a national board or 300. But for me, the question is, are the local boards going to be sending people who are both local board members and have that responsibility to their local board and committed to take on work assignments through these various committees to do the work? So I think, 20 to 23 people, whatever the final number would be, is certainly a fine size for a national board. I have no problem with it. Okay, I have Charles and then Rob and then Carol.
I was going to say, on the other boards that I'm on, this organization has a lot of work to do. I mean, when I say that, the board members here are burdened with a lot of things to do. And, again, you have to be reasonable about what you have to achieve. Normally, organizations of this size would have a substantial staff to execute all of the work that a lot of the board members are doing. And with that, and I hate to say this, but a 3 members from each station, which would equal 15, is not enough. And it's not enough from the sense that these board members, we have to vote on the feeling of the community. And three people can't get the feeling of the community of a 20,000 member subscriber base, let alone the 200,000 member listener base that's like at WBAI. And again, you have to have people that can, you have to have people can, who can at least get a feel of what the community is doing. Otherwise, you just have to vote your conscience, and sometimes your conscience doesn't always represent the feel of the community. The precept that the cost of conducting the meetings are costly, but I do believe that there are a variety of other methods that people can meet to execute business, whether it's conference call, net meetings, or whatever, that could greatly reduce costs. It may mean that the organization has to invest in some technology to achieve that, but you know, overall, I don't think the number of directors, in regards to the size of the organization, should be inhibitive. You shouldn't think that 15 people can execute the responsibilities of this organization. They just can't. I don't see how they can do it.
Rob Carroll.
I just wanted to say I don't think that the 20 to 23 number is outrageous. I also think the burden of work that we have on this board is enormous, and it just keeps getting larger and larger. And I think if we have a board that's large enough to execute the work, then perhaps we can get more of the work done at the regular meetings, and we won't have to keep meeting month after month after month consecutively. So I support Carol's proposal.
Okay. Carol? Okay, Ray.
I do understand Jabari's concern with not only keeping costs down, although I think we can do it differently, but also kind of thinking ahead as to why we want to do things in a more systematic way, meaning that Ariel, as Jabari, is a systems man, and he wants logic in what we're doing, and I respect that. In this case, though, not only we have a tremendous workload, UCL Jabari are pushing for a technology committee, which I think is long overdue for us, and that's the whole new frontier we're opening. And I'm also concerned about having enough people represented on this body, and I do believe that 20 people is would be a minimum to do so.
Okay, can we vote on this? Yeah, that's just it. Okay, the proposal, can you just reiterate the numbers?
The proposal is that the bylaws specify a minimum of 20 directors, 4 elected from each lab. We previously voted that there would be one staff member and selected by the lab, and that all of those people have to be local station board members. So that would be the minimum 20, 4 from each local station board, and up to 3 at-large directors.
Okay.
Minimum 20, maximum 23.
George, what's the problem?
Problem with that is...
Mike.
Sorry. Problem with that is that's a backdoor method of, once again, assisting New York and Berkeley, and it hurts D.C. and Houston.
No, each station has the same number.
You said at large.
No.
No. All station boards elect 4 directors.
Okay.
All 5 stations.
All 5 station boards elect 4 directors. The national board may, in its discretion, elect 3 at large. We'll get to this proposal about how those people could be nominated, but they couldn't be local board members.
They would not come from those 5 local boards.
They would not come from the stations.
Okay. Okay. All in favor? Raise your hand. Okay. It's unanimous.
All right.
Wow. Okay. So the next item is, I think we're down to section 3 on page 8, nomination of directors. Seem to have some music out there.
I'll grab that one real quick.
Nomination 1, station representative directors. Is there a proposal for how the station boards, the local station boards, would select or elect the people to go to the national board?
I think that's in a different area. It's called election of directors.
So then what is station representative directors?
They're not nominated to the national board by the local boards. They are elected.
Election. So we'll just take that out.
Yeah.
This is superfluous. Okay, then affiliate directors. And there are 2 proposals here, right? One has to do with what Carol was just saying, that they would be part of that set of at-large. And the other is that they're just separate, you know, that they're just affiliate representation. So, someone...
Excuse me, Leslie?
Yeah.
Did we just jump over a bunch of sections?
No. We went from the number to D was ex officio directors. We discussed that yesterday. That the ED would be a ex officio non-voting member of the board. The power and authority, oh, it's true. We didn't discuss that.
No, we approved that yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was yes. Oh, I'm sorry, the duties, not discussed.
Right, to be determined.
Right, the duties. Five.
No,
we can't. It's not in our control. It's out there. The duties. I'm sorry, I completely missed that. So you're right. The duties of the National Board. Okay, where do we begin?
Well, we have a couple of proposals from WPFW.
Mike. Use the mic.
We've got proposals on that from both WPFW and KPFA, I believe, which are somewhat similar.
Okay, can you, what page, it's on the grid, on the small grid.
Yes, it is, Leslie.
Okay, what page, do you remember?
I'm scrabbling.
12, someone said 12. Page 12. It's good music. Okay, page 12, point F, duties. We have PFW, KBFA, and KBFK all have proposals that we'll put forth here. Can somebody try and summarize this? Or you said that PFW and KBFA are pretty similar?
Fairly, yes.
Why don't you put your proposal out?
Why don't you say the PFW proposal?
Our proposal reads, the ongoing duties of the board involve... Excuse me, let me get an optical check here. I'm sorry. Involve compliance with the purposes found in the Foundation's Articles of Incorporation, compliance with corporate responsibilities in state and federal law, ensuring that routine communication with listeners occurs at all levels of governance, supervision and operation of Foundation personnel authority for officers, agents, and employees of the corporation, maintenance of a regular schedule of meetings, and execution of Foundation business decisions as required by the exercise of the board powers and authority as above.
Okay. Now, what is different in the KPFA?
The KPFA model is I scanned, and they're almost identical, except that the KPFA model has another phrase in there that says, to ensure the financial health of the foundation by adoption and monitoring of an annual budget and to oversee an independent annual audit of the foundation books and accounts.
And then the K model also includes appoint, supervisor, remove, employ, and discharge the executive director.
Oh, actually, that's
the foundation
too.
Okay.
So well, that's included in both of our.
Okay, so we would include. I think everybody would probably agree, right? Okay, Charles.
I have a question.
Yeah.
As I understand it, the duties of the board of directors are defined in the Articles of Incorporation.
No.
And if they,
no.
They're not?
No.
Okay. Well, then
no.
That
no, they need to be in the bylaws. Right. So I think there's actually a lot of overlap here. Right? Mm-hmm. People understand it's compliant. Make sure that the foundation is in compliance with the Articles of Incorporation, in compliance with all laws that we have to be in compliance with.
Yes.
Right? Ensuring communication with the listeners, supervising the foundation personnel.
It says to appoint, supervise, remove, employ, and discharge the executive director. And that actually
so
limits us. We don't go down and meddle at the lower level. That goes through the ED.
So we don't call every other day and say what's happening.
No, it means we don't supervise, employ, and discharge the national program director or the controller.
Right, right.
The ED does that.
And then there's some other things, too, maintenance of a regular schedule of meetings, et cetera, et cetera.
There's one other thing. I'm sorry. I did take the KPFA out of a boilerplate And it includes to register their addresses, telephone numbers, and email addresses with the Secretary of the Foundation so that notices can get to them. And I would like to point out that most...
I think that needs to go in there because, I'm telling you, it took months to get everybody's stuff from this board.
That's right. And to get it to the Secretary so that the Secretary can communicate with you is a duty, not, you know... It's
right.
And people don't do it. Yeah, it's in the... It was actually in the boilerplate bylaws put out by Nolo Press for California.
Okay. Okay. Do we have agreement on the function, the duties? Again, all this is going to be typed up, written up, so we'll read it again. But
all right.
I'm sorry, Tavarius.
No, I agree with most of that stuff. I agree with all of the stuff, except I just want to be very clear that the board of directors, and this is for people who will be sitting on the board of directors, you're not only responsible for everything, but you have a duty to exercise the responsibility,
right.
Okay?
Right.
Which means that you're going to have to make decisions and not punt on third down. And I just want to have a clarification with Carol, because the board of directors do have the authority to make any personnel changes. The board of directors have the authority to do anything within their responsibilities as directors that they feel is necessary for the health of the organization. So if they make a directive on personnel issues, on compliance issues, on whatever issues, how the mechanisms of those directives get implemented is one thing, but it should be clear that the board of directors are the ultimate power in this foundation. And people really need to understand that. You know, the board of directors...
Okay.
Because I keep hearing all this stuff. The board of directors invariably can direct and do anything they want to do. They have that power. There's no other group more powerful than the board of directors. And in fact, under... I'm not trying to make a big deal, because people who are running this really need to do this. And also, legally, your board of directors are your legal owners of the licenses under the FCC. Okay? We become, whoever those people are, they become the listed licensees owners at the FCC when you go down on file and they say, who owns these stations? It's not just Pacifica. It's person A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, so I'm just trying to be clear, because people think that the board of directors can't do things, but they can.
I like the wording that Serene just said. We're the protectors of the licenses. We don't own it. I don't own it.
No.
Let me clarify something. In point E, which is the point right before this one, the power and authority, I think it speaks to what Jabari is saying.
It says all corporate powers shall be exercised by or under the direction of the board of directors.
Yeah.
I still think
already
it's a conceptual thing.
But what it is, it's a legal thing.
Right.
And then we have to figure out, we had the board of directors, whoever it is, I don't know if it's we or whoever is going to be on the board of directors, the board of directors legally has not only the authority but the responsibility to oversee
everything
connected and inside this foundation. Right. Now, we also have the authority and the power to delegate some things
exactly
to other groupings. And that's what we have been trying to do, is to put together a governance structure that allows for power sharing and a balance and give and take and checks and balances. But at the end of the day, if something goes wrong, it's the board of directors and as the guardians of the foundation that get sued.
and that's
the bottom line.
Why I'm just emphasizing this, because, you know, Leslie, you've been sitting there, and people say you can't do this, and other people can't do that, and blah, 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 blah. And the mere legal reality is, yes, we can.
Right.
So the issue isn't whether we can do things. The issue is should we do things, and how should we do things?
Right.
Okay, but don't make that distinction between whether we can do things
versus whether we should or what we are proposing to do is done in the best manner. Those are two distinctive things. And Janice, the board of directors by name are the legal individual owners listed in the FCC, because I just went through this stuff. Okay,
I'm talking about this megalomania kind of attitude that you're bringing to
no,
this.
No, I'm not. I'm not bringing megalomania.
It is. It's the power and all this. And I understand what you're saying about technically and it's legal and all that. I'm talking about the attitude you bring toward fulfilling your duties.
No, I am talking
about. And I'm not here to be dictating to people. That's what we're trying to carry
out
stuff.
And that's what we're debating.
I'm through.
Right, okay, David.
Yeah, notwithstanding the style and manner of communication, I certainly would never be one to tell Jabari he cannot do anything. And I agree with Jabari. I agree that the board of directors can delegate duties. What they cannot do is delegate responsibility. That remains with the board. So the bottom line, the buck stops up here. And we remain accountable. And that is where I think Janice's concerns about megalomania may attach in the future as to some board member perhaps, but that's why the beauty of this recall and accountability system we're being developed is so vital. I suggest we move on and approve these duties and go to the next one.
Right, that's exactly what I want to do. So people are clear about what the duties were that we laid out, right? All in favor, please raise your hand. Yes, okay, unanimous. Okay, then, so where are we now? So now, I'm sorry, now we're back to...
Terms.
Yes, we did that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
We did that yesterday. Oh, and maybe this is... Yeah, we're going to end up with the 5 1-year terms.
Because
what?
We did terms.
We did terms. 5 1-year terms. That the local boards each year will elect their people to go to the national board. We did that... Yeah, you missed that yesterday, but it's... It was a mechanism to avoid the problem of somebody getting appointed to the national board 2 or 3 years into their term of office on the local board, so that what might happen is that they were no longer seated on the local board but had a seat on the national board. So in order to avoid that, we said 1 year.
That didn't pass. We went back to 3 years.
Oh, right.
No.
Yes. And then we stopped talking about
what the notes
I'm sorry, I honestly don't remember.
What the notes say is that we'll develop language.
I'm sorry, say it louder.
What the notes say, we've got a footnote saying that we're going to develop language extending the local station board term in an ex officio manner for any director whose term on the board of directors exceeds the term on the local station board.
We were really brain dead when we did that.
With up to 3 such ex officio positions permitted.
I have that written down here. Yeah. Leave on local board ex officio.
Right.
Remember okay. We did discuss it, but they're reminding us that it didn't pass.
It failed.
Mm-hmm. It failed. It was failure.
Just keep trying until I win.
It was failure. Okay, so forget what I just said. Can we move on?
So what is the term?
So what we...
3 years.
3 years that if somebody is in that period of a year where they're no longer on...
That's right.
The local board, but they still have a seat on the national board, that they would be left on the local board as an ex officio member. So they still have a relationship to the local board.
A voting.
We said voting?
Ex officio says voting.
Okay.
Otherwise, he would say non-voting.
Point of clarification, ex officio means by reason of your office. You can specify that an ex officio member is a voting or non-voting.
The microphone, George. Please, the microphone. We need the mic.
They're on by reason of their office.
The office being the national, but they're on the national board. Yes.
So we have these... The
louder, George.
I'm sorry, pardon me. The term is a 3-year term.
Yes.
And then
it could be re-upped for another 3 years.
That's right. And then if you're on this local board... You're a year into your term, your 2-year term on the local board, for example.
3 years. We have 2 years left, right?
Well, let's say you have 1 year left.
Let's say you have 1 year left. Right. You would then be designated as an ex officio member.
For 2 years.
No, for the
1 year.
For the whatever the duration was.
You earlier said one.
For the remaining term, the amount of time that you term on the
next. But that's what I'm going to. Is Leslie said earlier for 1 year. And that's what it could be 2 years. Okay.
Okay, can we move on? Okay, so we discussed that. Can we move on?
Yes.
Affiliates. It's affiliates and at large. Rob?
I just wanted to ask Carol a question regarding, in terms of the election of directors by the local station boards, do we not need to refer to the process of someone nominating and then electing?
As I look back at the original KPFA proposal, we did have a subsection A under nomination of directors. Said
right.
Station board representative directors, any delegate serving on a local station board may nominate any other eligible delegate serving on the same local station board.
Right. It's not that the local boards nominate the directors.
Right.
It's that they have to nominate them to
right.
elect them.
So I'm sitting on a local station board. I can nominate somebody else on my station board
right.
for the office of director so that the station board then votes.
So that should go in there.
I think we need to have
yeah, you're right.
that very brief language in there.
That's all it says.
It simply says any delegate serving on a local station board may nominate any other eligible delegate serving on the same local station board for the office of director.
Right.
So with
what page is that?
Any, it says.
May nominate any other eligible.
Eligible.
Fine. Okay, you got it. You got your 16 to 24, whatever the number is, people on your local board, your local station board. Jane Doe says, I want to nominate John Schmo. John Schmo says, I want to nominate Jane Doe. Right? You
know,
you get the nominee, and then you elect them.
Right. That's how it works. Right. Any opposition to this?
No. Okay, so that does go in.
So that goes back to A, comes back in.
That goes into section 3.
A.
Point A, yeah. Okay, now on to affiliate directors. No, what did we skip? On page 8, I didn't skip it. It's right there. It says A is station representative directors, B, affiliate directors.
Right.
Okay. All right, let me read what the recommendation is. And again, there's two issues here. But anyway, one, the recommendation from Rob was the Pacifica affiliate stations may nominate candidates for a director seat on the foundation board. The board will duly elect one of these nominees. The affiliate stations will apprise the board of their procedure for conducting these nominations that shall include dispersing information on the nomination process on a regular basis to all affiliate stations and or conducting a caucus of affiliate stations at an annual community radio conference. In making these nominees, the affiliates will submit a list of all affiliate stations and the affiliate representatives that voted in the nominations process to ensure that each affiliate station is granted a vote for the nominees. That's one proposal. There's another proposal that affiliate directors would be effectively part of this at-large set of directors that we already agreed we could have.
Well, they're not really competitive.
No, they're not really competitive. It's true. But I guess the first question is on the large principle about affiliates having a seat on the board. And then we can figure out the mechanism.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Jabari.
Jabari Siki, I would, at this time in our development, eliminate this section for affiliate directors. Because based on the discussions that occur at the national board meetings, I'm not clear that the affiliates know what they want to do and how they want to be attached in some kind of uniform way. And I don't know whether we have enough information to rationally decide that. I think that we have the opportunity because now you got 3 at-large positions. I think we can subsume whatever guidance that we would want to get from the affiliates, that could be done through those. If we want formal guidance, because we can always get guidance by having ad hoc committees and other things that we can always get input from. But from a governance point of view, I feel very queasy about binding the foundation to a set of entities, because it's not even one entity, it's to a set of entities when we are really having a hard time deciding how we want to operate ourselves. So the opportunity to put other at-large people that represent various skills and viewpoints exists. I think it would be detrimental to us to try to tackle this question, and I think it would be best for us to eliminate that section and just deal with the seating of affiliate members in the at-large basis.
Okay, Rob.
I hear what Jabari is saying. I think if we're serious about fulfilling our mission and really getting the Pacific a voice out in the country, the relationships with the affiliates, both in terms of communicating our message nationwide, as well as using some of the programming and some of the activities from the affiliate stations to enrich the Pacifica program offering as well, is essential. So I think this is something we've discussed. I think we do have relationships with the affiliates, and it's a way for us to begin growing within that network, and I absolutely support this.
If I could call myself for a second, I not only support it, I think it's central to what we are trying to do, to include and deepen the relationship with the affiliates, and that this is one way to do that by including them in the governance structure. There's been, you know, fairly frequent references to the need to think down the road about expanding the network, and usually those references are made in terms of buying another license. I don't know what our financial capabilities are going to be, and I don't even know what licenses are going to be open down the road, or even now. It's a limited number of licenses that are even open. There is a obvious way to expand what Pacifica is all about by the development of the affiliate program and by strengthening that affiliate program. I think at this point, to tell you quite honestly, we have as much, if not more, to gain from the affiliates as they do from gain from us. And that we really need to take that relationship seriously, and this is one way to put it into, you know, to actualize that. So, Carol?
I won't repeat what Rob and Leslie said. I really agree that we need affiliate representation on our board. The question is how they get there. There's an alternate proposal here that came out of KPFA, and I'd like to kind of hybridize it with what Rob just did, because I like some things that in Rob's that are better than what we had. But this is it. For at-large, we call it at-large directors, and this it says, the board of directors or any equivalent body of any Pacifica affiliate may nominate any eligible person for the officer of director. Eligible is that thing we have about not being a political person. For these purposes, a Pacifica affiliate is defined as any non-commercial broadcaster, radio, digital, internet, or the like, that broadcasts Pacifica programming either by permission or by contract with the Pacifica Foundation. I think it's important to have a definition and that it be broad because it's evolving. By majority votes... All right, that's it. So that would be permit the board of directors of any Pacifica affiliate to make a nomination. This board then would have the ability to either elect or not elect that person, but it's a channel for nominees for our three at-large seats to come out of the affiliates. What I like about Rob's proposal, which I think is even better, is that the affiliates can make nominations through their regular community meetings and things that they do. And I think that's even a better proposal.
I just tried to build on yours because I foresaw that we wanted the affiliates to feel like they all were shooting in the same match.
Okay. Right. Folks, we have about four more minutes before we got to change the tape, and that would be a good time to try and wrap this up. So, brief conversation. Yeah.
I guess a quick question. It pertains to the exchange of capital in relation to affiliates. You know, you're going to be buying and selling programming, I assume. And if that situation occurs, is that person or is that station an affiliate? Or is it, you know, you mentioned contractual obligations. Is that an affiliate or is that just another person you're doing business with? And then if that's a person you're doing business with, why are you putting him on your board so that he can decide on how much money he's going to make?
Right.
Recusal is a safe space of conflict.
Right. It's...
You know, know, I think the reason why we're putting, why we need affiliate representation on Pacifica board is Pacifica has five stations. We'd like to have an impact all across the country, in Ohio and in Chicago and in Maine, where we don't have stations. The affiliate network and our ability to build collaborative relations with them allows us to expand what we're doing in a really proactive, progressive way. Yes, we do have contracts with some of them. They're very minimal, and I don't think that that would ever come before the board. Is, you know, we never even see those contracts.
Also, the core of the relationship, that at least that I'm interested in, is not about the finances. Yes, there is a financial issue. Just as there are financial, you know, movement of money between our five stations and between the national and the local stations, you know. But the core is the commonality of mission and what we're trying to do with the programming and the messages and voices and ideas that we're trying to bring to larger and larger audiences and groups of people out there.
And my statement is I understand all that, and I don't disagree with that in any form. The statement is that, again, if they are on our board, then would we be on their board, or would they have somebody? I guess the